Well, good morning to you, those here, and good afternoon to those that aren't. Good point, mate, Charlie. Ministers in this country have failed to realize who they work for. The one thing the Lord showed me many years ago, 1972, August the 8th, is who I work for. I don't work for you. I don't work for the government. I don't work for the dollar. I work for God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel, and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is who I work for. That is who I seek to please. Many people through the years have accused me of many things. Some even saying that it's all about me. And I don't really care. Because the judgment of the world is not my problem. My concern is the judgment of God. And to remind myself daily that I work with for Him. And if the ministers in these churches across this nation were to understand that little fact, they don't work for their congregation, they don't work for the board of directors, or for the deacons, or dickens, whichever one you want to call them. They work for God Almighty, and they're accountable to Him. And when they get that right, their messages are going to change. Their message is going to be strong. And you will see many people leave the churches. But those that stay will be the true Christians. I have never gone for numbers. I've had many people over the years try to get me to. As you notice, behind the pulpit, there's no report card. If you notice listening to our services, I don't take up offerings. You don't see us take up offerings. We follow the word. Those that are true faithful believers, they tithe. And they tithe the way they're supposed to. They give offerings. But is it God's leading them, not us holding out a hand? Amen? Amen. These preachers, they got their little bulletin board up there. How many people came last Sunday? How many came to the Lord? How much money was received? They got to keep those numbers up. Or their board of deacons or elders or whatever they want to call themselves will fire them. You know, I never could understand that. I was at a church one time and I asked the pastor, I said, what are you afraid of? Well, the deacons, they I got to do what they want. Well, who is the head of the church? If the deacons know so much, why aren't they in the pulpit? It's the tail of the dog wagging the dog and not the head wagging the tail. The preachers in the pulpit are afraid. They're afraid to stand up and speak against Islam. They're afraid to stand up and speak about the government and its poorness and the way it's handling things. They're afraid to tell people, you're a sinner. And you need to repent. Oh, I'm not talking about just being a sinner because you drink or because you do drugs. But if you sit out there and you worry about what's going to go on tomorrow and how you're going to pay bills or how you're going to serve God or whatever, you are a sinner. But worry is fear. And fear comes from unbelief, and it comes from the devil, and it has nothing to do with God. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Bob made mention a few times in his sermon about not only wanting to go to heaven, but to be able to stay there. And I'm wondering how many people scratch their heads over that. Well, what do you mean be able to stay there? Well, we all know that when we go to heaven, we're perfect. We'll be there with God forever and ever and ever. You'll be there as long as you obey Him. I was a young man living on Linden Drive in Zay Park. And there was a church a couple miles from my house I went to. And I never will forget it. It was Temple Baptist Church. I was probably 9. Temple Baptist Church. And Jewel Smith was the preacher. I remember it distinctly. And he preached on Hebrews. He was 6 or 4. One of those. You know, once having come to the knowledge of the truth, tasted of the word of God and the heavenly gift, if you sin, there's no more forgiveness. Can't re-crucify Christ. He preached on that and said, now if you've accepted Christ, if you sin, there's no more forgiveness. I wasn't out of church an hour. And I figured I'd blown it. Because I sinned. I didn't stop to think about the rest of the scriptures about forgiveness and grace and all this and what its purpose was. And years later, the Lord showed me that verse again and made me to understand. See, your body will never stop sinning. That's why it dies. The wages of sin are death. Your body will die. It'll go into corruption. Ain't a thing you can do about it. Because it is sin. And Jesus didn't die for your body. The plan is to give you a new one. He died for your soul. And once you go to heaven and you see and hear and touch that word, that holy word, Jesus, and you experience the power of His might and Holy Ghost in His presence, if you then sin, you're not going to take Jesus off that throne and crucify Him. It ain't going to happen, baby. It's going to be, go to hell. Do not pass go and do not collect $200. Straight to hell, that's where you're going to go. We have this life to learn to get it right. We have this life to get it right. Because I want you to understand, I want you to know clearly, whatever state your mind is in when you die is the state you will be in heaven. If you are rebellious now, you will be rebellious then. And you rebel now, there's grace to cover it. If you ask forgiveness, But don't think for a minute there's grace in heaven. There is no grace in heaven. Did God give grace to Lucifer when he sinned? Did God give grace to the angels that were cast out because of following him? Did God give grace to those angels that came down and took the daughters of men? No, they're held in chains for the judgment. If you are rebellious when you die, you will be rebellious there. And what are your chances then? Bob talked about the fear of the Lord. Well, maybe this will help you fear the Lord. I know this isn't preached in the churches because the pastors, they won't preach the truth. I don't want people following me. I want people following Jesus so I can afford to preach the truth. And if you don't like it, you can lump it. You can go somewhere where they'll tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. What I'm going to tell you is, we got a long ways to go. I've been beating this dog for over 40 years. I ain't been able to kill him yet. But I'm getting closer. And I'm looking for the day when he barks his last bark. He's about as stubborn as Tuxie is. That Tuxie stopping him from barking, I'm going to tell you, we put an anti-bark collar on it. He barks, yelps, barks, 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 yelps. That won't even stop him. I wondered at first, man, why was I crazy enough to allow Steve to leave that dog with me? I must have been an idiot. And I've all this time, 3 months I've complained, haven't I, Robin? 3 months I've complained. And just was it last night? The Lord said, what are you complaining about? He's just like you. That's when I realized the Lord left that dog here to teach me a lesson. Stubbornness is only good when it's in the Lord, when it's in the truth. If you're going to be stubborn somewhere else, you've got to get rid of it. Amen? So, Tuxie, you've done your job. Praise the Lord. One more step. I want you to be prepared to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there is only one way, is to submit yourself to the Lord, obey the Lord, love one another, and do it all by faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Amen.